What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Everyone has hot takes on sports.
Under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
Wait. What?
But sometimes we have to peel back the curtains and find out what kind of hot takes the Killer Bees have outside the world of sports.
Bananas are trash.
People don't actually like LaCroix.
Okay, surprising opinion.
It's time for Weird Take Wednesday on the Killer Bees.
I'm distracted by these pictures of Will Levis. Will Levis showed his body transformation since the end of the college football season, and I'm getting some serious Andrew Carlson vibes right now. All right, Weird Take Wednesday. You want to lead us off, Blankers? Age before beauty, like
yeah,
we do?
I've been talking to the guys at the gym, and there's a couple guys that are adamant that this Final Four hasn't lost any luster, and that it nothing has changed, and it would be the exact same no matter which teams were involved. And I just think that's a bad, horrible, weird take, because you can't tell me that a Final Four that had at least one but a couple of one seeds and maybe a blue blood or two like a Kansas or the local, you know, feel of a Houston Cougars being able to have a chance to win it at home, or even a Longhorn team from Texas having a chance to win it from home, wouldn't be a hell of a lot better, more popular, more attended, better audiences than what we've got set up for this Final Four here in Houston.
Is that a weird take or a bad take?
I think it's both. I think it's weird that someone would actually think that that's a legitimate take.
Yeah, it can kind of go hand in hand, I see. It's a bad take.
I mean, you could have a Butler or you could have a VCU, but if you have both, I just think,
no,
disappointing and lackluster from how fired up people were about the Final Four.
This is the same argument we get a lot of times with the Final Four. It's really dated. People have these hot takes about the NCAA tournament. Oh yeah, upsets stink. This take has been going on for 20 years. Like, everybody's like, oh, new and original. Oh yeah, upsets are bad for college basketball. We want the blue bloods. Duh. Like, do you want ratings? Do you want attendance? Obviously. That's the same take that's been going on for 20 years. You're not doing anything original by recycling that take. Is it fun in the moment to have the upset? Yeah. San Diego State and FAU, though, are a really good basketball team.
They are
underseeded. This isn't, you know, St. Peter's making a run to the Final Four, anything like that. But yes, it's better to have the blue bloods from an eyes perspective, from a ratings perspective, from an attendance perspective. No doubt about it. Joe George, what you got for us?
All right, so this is a trend I've seen on TikTok.
You're a TikTok guy.
How often are you on TikTok, Joe George?
When I'm trying to go to sleep.
I have a TikTok now.
Yeah.
Do you can
really?
Follow me. I don't even know what my handle
you gonna
is.
You can do a thumbs up?
I've put a couple of videos on my TikTok.
I put like one video.
Do you follow me on TikTok?
No.
You should follow me, Joe.
I will.
George.
I didn't know you were on it.
I'm barely on it. I don't even know
Sam.
If I'm on. I know that I'm on it.
You don't even know your username.
I don't even think I can get on to my own TikTok. Sorry, I pulled up a TikTok. I feel like an old man.
It's
right
good
now.
Radio right now. This is Barry Warner Radio.
So this is the weird take that I've seen. It's been a trend on TikTok. This has really been a trend.
At Jeremy Branham on TikTok.
It's shocker.
It's been
Follow
more
me.
Just since like social media has started, but it actually has to do with the gym. Not that I'm an avid goer, but I think it's weird how oftentimes women, you see,
well, here we go,
get visibly upset. Like when a guy or a girl, anyone, walks in front of their camera when they're filming themselves work out. Like, have you seen these where like people get like visibly upset?
This has been viral. Like,
That's so weird to me. Like, that you think you have the right to film yourself working out, and the other people around you, they're the problem. I don't get it.
I've seen that, but I've also seen the one that's even more annoying. Is when, especially the chicks, decide to take their phone and just walk up to the guys and go, hey, could you film me doing this set?
That's weird.
And it's like, why don't you just ask if he wants to go out otherwise, or just look at me? Because otherwise, you're just a nuisance in the middle of the gym for everybody else.
Let's be honest here. You have to have a certain level of confidence to think that someone else is checking you out, right?
Well, I think like from the guy's perspective.
Believe me, there are people that... They do it daily.
Like I know that.
Back in all of our single days, if we were like to rank places you would try to ask a girl on a date or meet a girl, the gym would have been at the bottom of my list.
Ooh.
Because
I don't think so.
That's not what I'm there for. Like, I'm not going to the gym with the intention of...
I disagree because you're going to...
To meet someone.
But if you see a good-looking girl there, you know you have one like hobby already. In the fact that you both like going to the gym.
But you're bothering this person. Like, they're there for a reason.
Not necessarily. What if you're both on, like, a cardio equipment or something like that? You strike up a conversation. Or you see a person a certain amount of time, start talking to them. It's an icebreaker as you... figure out
that's
if there's
fair.
Something there.
But what about the person that you've never seen before? You're just going to walk up to them like
while
they're in the middle of their set?
It takes a certain kind of weird person that has the stones to be able to do that from the first viewing.
Hey, shoot or shoot. Shoot or shoot.
I think
miss half the shots you don't take.
You miss a lot of them. I just don't.
You miss 100% of the shots.
Yeah. You miss 100% of the shots
I was like,
you don't take.
You butchered that.
Michael
so
Scott,
bad.
Probably.
Michael Scott, Michael Jordan.
I don't know if that was Wayne Jordan or Michael Gretzky.
Doesn't the whiteboard say like, Michael Scott, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan?
Something like that.
Like, it has like three people listed for the same quote. It's awesome. It's absolutely incredible.
A little subtle humor.
I know the guys that
like,
actually...
It's an odd one. That, like,
I know the
get
guys actually get annoyed being asked to film them.
No, but here's the point I was trying to make. Like, if for you to think... Like, you filming yourself in the gym, I think, is really weird behavior. Like, okay. Like, you're getting your reps in. Like, I can understand filming a golf swing. Like, you're checking your form.
Right.
Things like that. But, like, you're doing it for the gram. Like, you're doing it to get attention. Oh. And then somebody else is giving you attention, and then you're, like, mock mad at the attention. Like, you're getting fake outrage at the attention. You're looking for attention anyway.
But a lot of times, they're not even mad that they're getting attention. Like, they're getting mad because, like, someone just walks in front of their phone that's on
the
ground.
I thought you meant checking them out.
No, like, you see people, like...
I got you.
But it happens. But both things
are
happening.
Yeah, you interrupted one of their potential TikTok video.
Like, you're just interrupting their video by walking through to wherever you're going.
I'm a big, like, we live in a society kind of guy. Like, I have tons of pet peeves. One of my biggest pet peeves is, like, whenever you're just going to the grocery store and, like, you're driving to the grocery store and, like, you're letting somebody else walk across to get to the store. Like, you're being polite. You're being a gentleman. And they take their sweet time. Like, that annoys me beyond
anything. Instead
of
walking on the sides of an aisle at the grocery store, parking lot,
or
they walk right down the middle.
Or they
stop. Didn't that happen to you yesterday?
Yeah,
when
the
we were
other
on the
day.
Phone?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it did. Like, yes, it did.
Someone was just
like,
standing
I
there
let
in the middle.
Someone go in front of me getting out of their car so they could walk towards the entrance to the store.
Yeah.
But then instead of walking on the neck near the cars so I could continue on, they walked right in the smack dab middle of the entire lane.
It's just dumb behavior.
We're going to have a pet peeve segment at some point. You called Joel yesterday?
We talk on the phone.
Almost every day.
I talk to you
Y'all
on the
talk
phone.
On the phone every day?
Almost.
Not every day.
I talked to Joe yesterday for the first time since he's gotten the job.
That's not
on
true.
The phone. And he's calling you every day?
Yeah.
What's going on?
We're buddies. We've known each other a long
What's
time.
What's happening?
Revolt.
I don't know, like...
But you also realize, because we're not those guys, right? In terms, especially people in media in this town or otherwise. There are people that feel obligated to do what you're saying multiple times daily, and they use filters, and it's all about them. It's all about look at me all the time, both male and female, like without anything really to it other than look at me, I'm here. Look at me, I'm eating this. Look at me, I'm at the gym. Look at me.
Yeah, it's odd behavior. All right, this next one comes from Jeremy, I'm assuming.
Me?
And I don't even know if this is a weird take, a weird question, but sometimes I see things on the rundown, I'm like, why are we asking this question? Who is asking this question? What's the purpose?
Yeah.
So we'll go to our non-sports category. And it says, quote, what would you do if you woke up next to a dead body with blood everywhere?
Oh, yeah. So I put that in there.
That's a weird thing to put
that
on the rundown.
Bizarre.
So now I want to know why.
I was
Is that a bad dream?
Or are you watching The Godfather?
No. I had a coach. I sat down in the plane next to one of our coaches, one of our assistants. And he's like, yeah, I like to ask hypothetical questions. Not in a creepy way. Like, I understand it comes off really creepy.
I would think so. I also don't know if I'd sleep with both eyes shut.
He's like, I always like to ask people these just random funny questions. And he asked me that question. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna steal that. I'm gonna bring it up on the radio show. And so, yeah, what was the question again? I forgot it.
Like,
what would you do if you woke up next to a dead body with blood everywhere?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know if y'all have watched The Flight Attendant with the lady from Big Bang Theory on there, Kaylee Cuoco or whatever. However you pronounce it. It's basically the situation she was in. So you wake up.
I've seen the previews for this.
You wake up. You have a dead body next to you that's covered in blood. You have no idea. You have zero recollection of what happened, what you were doing, any of that. What is your first instinct? What are you doing?
Probably Godfather have a heart attack.
I'm calling the authorities.
That, yeah. Having a heart attack and dying might be best case scenario.
It might be.
If I'm trying, if I have any hope of clearing my name, I think I got to call the authorities immediately.
You think you're getting out of that? You woke up in bed next to a dead body covered in blood.
You're in a bad spot.
There's probably blood on you.
But if I didn't, if I didn't drink, and I mean, you'd have to figure out, were you out last night? Did you get drugged up or something like that? Because otherwise, if you don't think you did it, what are you doing, running?
I think,
I don't know. I think the answer might be run.
I think the best thing you could do is probably call the authorities. Like, usually the cover-up can be a lot worse. Usually it makes things worse for you. I don't think there's any way you're escaping this bad situation. I think you have to understand that your lot in life might be prison for the rest of your life. Like, I don't think there's any coming back from that. But what is the best worst option there?
Best worst option is you don't get the death penalty, and because you called the authorities, at least you stay alive, whether you get incarcerated the rest of your
life. There's no doubt you're screwed. There's no doubt that you're coming.
I don't want to say necessarily, but I think chances are pretty much against.
Like, what's your case? Like,
should we just have this coach on every week and have him ask us questions?
I want to say that there used to be. I used to know somebody that used to do this all the time too. The hypothetical. I like asking the same thing. Like hypothetical question a day.
Hypothetical Tuesday on the Wheelhouse.
Is that what it's from?
Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know. I've heard it before.
Because that's what they do.
Hypothetical Wednesday.
Is that a BK thing?
Yeah.
9754 says call Ray Donovan. That's not a bad call. Call a fixer. The problem is I don't know a fixer.
Where do you look up a fixer?
Can you Google this? Can you Google fixer?
You might be closer to a fixer than anyone else.
Maybe.
A college football program might have a fixer.
I don't know. I don't know who that fixer is.
Like, I don't know who it is, but
is there probably a fixer in every single college football program?
I bet you the
probably.
Texans have a fixer.
I don't know who it is. Jack Easterby?
Like,
He's gone.
Jack Easterby?
No.
Jack.
No.
I woke up next to a body. Help.
I think you have to call the authorities. I think you do. Like, I don't think it's a good option, but I think it's the best option.
It's just a weird question that was on our rundown. I was curious.
All right. What would you do if you woke up to a dead body next to you covered in blood? 713-780-3776.
If you come up with scenarios on your own, I'd be a lot more concerned. I hope there's a coach, and I hope he does come up with hypotheticals.
I wouldn't make that up. All right. Making mock drafts great again. We have
say that until you murder half the station one day.
You'd never know about it. Bucky
I'd
Brooks.
I'd be dead.
NFL.com. You'd be the last one. Bucky Brooks, NFL.com with the latest mock draft. And boy, is this one a doozy. It involves Will Levis. You aren't going to want to miss this. What does he say about Levis? Where's he going in his first round? 713-780-ESPN. Making mock drafts great again. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Everyone's saying don't call the authorities. It's just a...
You asked, I answered.
It's just a get-to-jail-quick card, I guess. Everybody says call the wolf from Pulp Fiction. Call a fixer. Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul. Just started that the other day. King of Twitch, you never call the cops when you're the only person at the scene. Good luck in jail. I'm thinking jail might be best case scenario here. Like somebody said, throw it in the bottom of a lake. Okay. What does that mean? What if that dude's a mobster? Now, what does that look like for you? What if they knew he was there? What does that look like for you? Just saying. Somebody says call an attorney before you do anything
else. I just
think
when people think they're so smart that they can put together a plan that keeps them away from the authorities and they're able to run and they think that they can get away.
Yeah.
They find out in short order how smart the authorities are and being able to find clues and things to track your ass down.
Cover-ups aren't good. 6318, can we trade Patrick to the Killer Bees and send Branham to the Late Show? Seems like Branham is always focused on everyone else's takes and doesn't realize that 95% of his are hot garbage.
Damn!
I don't miss. When was the last time I missed on a take?
Is that crazy?
The Justin Verlander thing, I hit on that. The Altuve thing, I hit on that. The Texans things, I hit on that. I don't miss. I don't miss the shots that I take. Like, I don't know what this guy's talking about. The 95% of my takes are hot garbage. Name a take where I got wrong. I don't miss 6318.
Well, I think you're going to be...
I wouldn't mind Patrick's schedule, though.
I will say, I feel like you're going to be...
That would get right in the middle of your game schedule.
Yeah, kind of known for your Will Levis take, depending on how he plays out.
Yeah.
It like, depends. If he's awful...
You're
in a bad spot.
I have hitched my wagon.
Yeah.
To Will, and it matters a lot on where a player ends up. Because if you end up in a really bad situation, it doesn't matter if you're great. Like, you're going to be terrible. You're going to be really bad. So, like, the situation matters where any of these quarterbacks end up, where any of these guys end up. I believe in Will Levis, though. But all I said on Levis, I didn't say he was going to have a great pro career. I didn't say he was going to have a great career. I said that Will Levis is the best prospect in this draft, quarterback prospect. In this draft. I think Will Anderson's the best prospect, him and Jalen Carter. Anyways, let's make mock drafts great again. This one from Bucky Brooks of NFL.com. I'm noticing a trend about Will Levis from certain people. Bucky Brooks, here's his mock draft. He has C.J. Stroud going number one to the Carolina Panthers. No surprise there, right?
Right.
C.J. Stroud number one. He's the betting favorite. I was looking at some of these odds for drafts today just to have an understanding of things. C.J. Stroud's a pretty considerate favorite. Bryce Young's a pretty considerate favorite to go number two. Bucky Brooks plays it safe in his top two. C.J. Stroud number one to Carolina. Bryce Young number two to the Houston Texans. Pretty straight after that, too. Arizona goes with Will Anderson. The Colts go with Tyree Wilson, which can be considered a little bit of a surprise that they don't go quarterback. They go Tyree Wilson at number four. And then they have Jalen Carter going number five to Seattle. So pretty high for Jalen Carter. Some people think Jalen Carter might fall because of the off-field issues. All right, Lucas Van Ness is a popular name around here. He goes number eight to Atlanta. Nolan Smith number 10 to Philly. You're looking at quarterbacks, top 15, no. Top 18, no. Top 19, no. The next quarterback that comes off of Bucky Brooks' board is Anthony Richardson, number 20, to Seattle. So he has Richardson sliding
Seattle,
all the way
to Seattle, if they get Jalen Carter
20.
And Anthony Richardson, I think they'd be ecstatic.
Yeah. Maybe. Depends on what they feel about Jalen Carter.
But I think I think overall, to think that they've got their quarterback of the future while they still have their quarterback for the now, locking up Geno. And they get a big piece of their defensive puzzle.
Richardson would be, like, that's a good spot for Richardson to go to.
Because absolutely, because he doesn't have play behind Geno for a couple of years.
Learn, try to, develop, because I think he needs some development. Mm-hmm. He needs some fixing. Seattle drafts Anthony Richardson at number 20. So it's a pretty big fall for Anthony Richardson. But that was the third quarterback off the board. Where's Will Levis? He doesn't go 21. Nope, not in the top 25. Not in the top 30.
Wow.
Bucky Brooks is the first mock draft that I have seen that has Will Levis outside of the first round.
Man.
Will Levis slides all the way out. I have some thoughts about it, but I'm going to keep them to myself. But I don't see it happening. I think Will Levis is a guaranteed top 10 pick. I think there's a decent chance he's a top 5 pick. I think Bucky Brooks is wrong. I think Bucky Brooks has some wild ideas at times.
Not even Lance, who's not all that high on Will Levis.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that aren't that high on Levis, but have him going top 10,
they
top
know
15.
That there's an organization out there that's going to take it.
So Bucky Brooks has Will Levis falling out of the first round. And he has Anthony Richardson taking a bit of a dive as well, all the way to number 20 for the Seattle Seahawks. So we've been playing the little exercise we've been using where we use this dude's mock draft. In this case, it's Bryce Young at number two to the Houston Texans. Everybody's happy. Everybody's rejoicing. They draft Bryce Young, all 5'10" of them, to be the next franchise quarterback
for
the Houston
Texans. Then you always say, no, don't get me wrong now. I'm a Bryce Young fan. If they get Bryce Young, I'd be happy, all 5'10".
He's 5'10".
Okay. Don't sell him short. He's 5'10" and an eighth.
Okay.
You sold him short.
I can like a 5'10 quarterback.
And an eighth?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't mean I don't like him because I say he's short. I'm just having a little fun at his height, which I have to take all the chances I have with that because I've heard them all. Anyways, he has Bryce Young going number two to the Houston Texans. So we've been using this same mock draft to put ourselves in Nick Caserio's shoes to see who we would draft at number 12. And we also use Bucky Brooks' mock draft here. We have a multiple choice. The guy he picked at 12, 13, 14, and 15, and we make the call on who we would take if we were the Houston Texans general manager, knowing what you're drafting at number two. In this case, it's Bryce Young. At number 12, Bucky Brooks has the Houston Texans taking JSN, the receiver from Ohio State, Jackson Smith and Jigba. At number 13, he has the New York Jets taking Osiris Torrance, the offensive lineman from Florida. Some thought he's probably going to be a guard at the next level. Maybe can play tackle. We'll see. More of a guard. At 14, he has the Patriots going with Broderick Jones, the tackle from Georgia. And number 15, he has the Green Bay Packers selecting Miles Murphy, the defensive end from Clemson. So you have the choice. You're Nick Caserio. You already have Bryce Young in the bag. You selected him at number 2. You have the option of A, Jackson Smith and Jigba, B, Osiris Torrance, C, Broderick Jones, or D, Miles Murphy.
Well, you guys already know where I'm going because I understand it. Both offensive linemen are out. So it becomes either Murphy or JSN. And when you look at it, I've been consistent all along in saying if you're going to go quarterback at 2, you give him a weapon at 12. And whether that's a tight end or a wide receiver, that's my line of thinking. And so, you know, it's not the receiver of my choice, but if it's the receiver that I have to choose from, then I will say that they will take JSN and give a legit weapon, an extra weapon to the quarterback they drafted to.
Joe George, you're Nick Caserio, multiple choice. Same question to you. JSN, Torrance, Jones, or Murphy?
Yeah, it's JSN. Murphy's interesting. I think he would be the next guy on my list, but you know, we talked about earlier who'd you be upset with, and I said JSN, so I can't back off that now and be a flip-flopper. So it's JSN, and you know, I get the appeal still of a guy like Miles Murphy for D'Amico, and I still think that's where they may lean, but to get D'Amico something on defense in the first round and then potentially go after a Zay Flowers or Joshua Downs in the second round. So
Tank Dell.
I get it. I think Tank's like a fourth rounder.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think he's more of a maybe third, probably fourth.
He's too small.
He's very small.
He is. Like, okay.
So is Bryce Young, though. And you just drafted him at number 2.
Yeah, but
Bryce Young's historically small to be going that high.
He is.
Facts.
Is it fair 100%. To say, though, is it fair to say, Joe, that no matter who you take, because we've all discussed the receivers, but no matter who you take at 12, he instantaneously becomes the best receiver in the room.
Whoever it is?
Yeah.
A
lot of people love Robert Woods in this.
I think Robert Woods at this crazy point in his career,
He never even was like an elite option with Jared Goff.
You know, Robert Woods' heyday was preseason the year that Cooper Kupp blew up, where everybody thought it was supposed to be Robert Woods, and he didn't. Yeah. I'm not saying Woods is a bad football player.
No, not bad, but that's what I'm saying. No matter who you take, whichever receiver you like, and you take them at 12, they instantaneously become the best receiver in the room.
The only reason why I think there's an argument to be made for Mechie.
Mechie's the only argument.
He might not even be the best receiver in the room, but if you draft Bryce Young, there could be a really special connection there from their time at Alabama. So you could see Mechie be a consistent guy. But I think if you draft JSN at 12 and you have him and Mechie as your top two targets, then I do think you're built very successfully going forward at that position.
Yeah. I mean, to the Texas point, you have two similar statured receivers. I don't hate that a whole lot. Because, like, I mean, you look at San Fran. They had Debo and Ayuk.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were kind of similar build. I don't think that Mechie or JSN are nearly as explosive as either one of those guys, because those dudes are, like, explosive after the catch. And, you know, being able to target those type of receivers for San Francisco. I think that it's easily the best receiver in the room.
Yeah.
Like, because I think that John Mechie has a chance to be really good, but he's a second round talent versus a first round talent, even if it's a reach of a first round.
And that's
talent.
Why I've been so hell bent on giving a legit weapon. And if it's the best receiver in the room, you're giving your quarterback a legit weapon instead of hoping there's something left in the tank on Robert Woods and he's got something to prove. You hope Mechie's healthy first and foremost. And like you said, as a second round pick, he's a slot guy, a contributor guy. I think we've all basically, the ship has sailed on Nico Collins. He maybe be a third or fourth receiver on a team. But I think that if you know that with all the positions to fill on this roster, whoever you take at wide receiver becomes the best receiver in the room, you got to give your quarterback at least that.
Yeah, I go Miles Murphy if I'm given these options. I'm not budging from the stance of I don't want to take a receiver at number 12 in this draft. If I am hell-bent on taking receiver, then I'm trading down to 18, 19, 20, taking the receiver there, adding draft capital. I don't believe that there's a receiver in this draft that's worth the number 12 pick. I think Miles Murphy is BPA far more than JSN. I'm taking the defensive end. I'm giving that to D'Amico Ryans. I want to leave this first round. Best case scenario, if I have two first-round picks with a quarterback and with a defensive end. So if I'm getting Bryce Young at number two, I'm taking Miles Murphy, and I'm figuring out the wide receiver position probably in the second round, maybe the third round.
I do believe that you could do what you said, and then you could possibly trade up to the late stages of the first round to end up still getting a good receiver.
That's still like my dream. Is that they end up with three first rounders.
Yeah, and I think it's legit. I think it's a possibility. I think they could move up into the late stages of the first round knowing that a lot of the receivers are going to slide. And if they're all bunched up on the same tier, you know, you could, names are interchangeable, but you can get a guy that still makes your receiver room better, though I don't know whoever you get is the best receiver in the room, like if you get someone at 12. But I think there'll be enough receivers available you could trade up into the late stages of the first round.
Play with drafting, like if you do the Pro Football Focus or PFN, their mock draft or whatever, play with taking a receiver at 12 and then defensive end with your first pick in the second round, and then play with taking a defensive end at 12 and a receiver in the second round. You're going to love the defensive end in the first round, receiver in the second round option more than receiver defensive end. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. What do you think of Bucky Brooks' mock draft? Is it crazy to have Will Levis in the second? You play the multiple choice game. Who would you take at 12? Also, the NFL says that you can start playing more Thursday night football games. You can play more than one. I have a radical idea, not to fix the NFL schedule because it is already very good, but something that would take it to the next level. A change with scheduling that everyone would love. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you're going to love as well is Pinnacle Construction. You have to love it because they are the very best in the industry. Have you been toying around with the idea of a remodel? Yeah, you have. We all have. We own homes. We're always looking to tinker. We're always looking to make things a little bit better. And Pinnacle Construction is for you in its peak time. Whether you just want something fresh, whether you're creating a new look, whether it's a kitchen, a bathroom, a room addition, of course you have. But you've been waiting for the right people, someone you can trust and not charge you through the roof. Pinnacle Construction is the name you need to know. A general contractor with decades of experience that will help with any kind of repair. We know that choosing a team to remodel your home can be confusing, but allow the talented team at Pinnacle Construction to ease that confusion for you. Doug Johnson, owner of Pinnacle Construction, native Houstonian, serving all of the greater Houston area for over 20 years. Doug and his team guarantee quality in-house work, and they're here to stay. Licensed and insured, stellar customer service for every project and every customer. Get your free estimates with a qualified Pinnacle Construction technician right now. You can call or text to 281-900-3004, 281-900-3004, or email Doug at PinnacleConstructionLLC.net. Financing options available. Ask for the ESPN discount. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience. You can visit them at 975generalcontractor.com.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
7816, take the best player available. We desperately need good players.
Right, but what if there's more than one? I mean, it's just separated by position. There could be several really good players on the board. Then you got to determine which position do you need most.
Yeah. I tend to be a BPA guy, to be quite honest with you. Like, need versus BPA, give me BPA over need. Now, if you have two players on the same tier, and you're like, oh, we need a receiver more than we need position X, and you have them on the same tier, then I think that's when you can start looking at position.
See, I think you and I narrowed it down based on all these mock drafts and the fact that the two biggest positions of need are either going to be pass rush or it's going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe tight end.
Quarterback, but that's obvious.
Right, no, quarterback's early. I think at 12, yeah, I guess you could say weapon offensively, whether it be tight end or wide receiver. But I think wide receivers are going to go higher than tight end at 12. I don't think the tight ends are going to go to 12. Mayer's the first guy that might come off the board starting with Green Bay at 15. But I think that between a pass rusher and give DeMeco a weapon, or an offensive player to give your quarterback a weapon, are the two biggest needs right now for this franchise of all the needs they have.
Yeah.
Because they addressed the line.
The thing with tight end, though, is like whoever you drafted tight end, I think, is the future of that position. Is he better than Dalton Schultz right away?
Is the now.
But does it, like, the second part of that conversation is, should it matter? You know? like,
well,
shouldn't prevent you from taking.
Look, Dalton Schultz is still young enough too, where you can get several good years out of him, and there's nothing to say that, right. But I'm saying if you can re-sign him, and that's where I was headed, you could re-sign him, and if you did. There's plenty of teams in this league that go two tight end sets and love having two quality tight ends on their roster that you can make it work with both those guys. It's just, do you think that the tight ends on the board are better and have a better chance of making an impact than whenever wide receivers are on the board?
But here's the thought, though, with like Schultz being here again. Like, if you re-sign Dalton Schultz to a contract after this year, what does that look like? That means Dalton Schultz had you play pretty good. That means that Dalton Schultz is probably going to have to get a substantial contract. So if you're,
well, I think it's the contract he turned down from Dallas and a little more.
Substantial.
Yeah.
Substantial. So you're paying a tight end a substantial contract, and then you're also spending pick number 12 on a tight end. Like, that is using two big pieces of capital, sure. One money, one the number 12 pick of the NFL draft, on the same position.
I think that's why I think wide receiver at 12, but taking another tight end in the first three rounds, if one of the top four tight ends falls to you, is not a bad move.
No, I don't like it at 12. I don't like it at 12. If you're talking about one of these dudes because, at tight end in second, third round, I'm totally cool with that. I do not want it at 12 anymore.
Yeah, and I think that it depends on like the flavors that you like. I mean, who do you like more? Do you like Mayer? Do you like the kid from Utah? Do you like the kid from Oregon State? Are they all on the same tier? And then where are any of them going to be available late first? I mean, those are questions you have to ask because there's such a surplus of wide receivers. And again, most general managers have their eye on one, and not everybody agrees on them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several chances for the top, maybe three or four of them, to go in the first round, wide receiver-wise.
I think what's really interesting, too, about like the back end of the draft is like the top teams, they all need a tight end. And like you could see all these guys going towards the back end. Like, think about how Dalton Schultz or Mayer would fall, like if they fell for Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow,
Allen.
Honestly, like, you got to think that at some point the Chiefs got to start thinking, how much longer do we have
life
Kelce?
After Kelce?
Like, it should be really intriguing for any of those guys to go to those four teams.
I like the idea of doing that, but if I'm doing that, you can eliminate the idea of Dalton Schultz being a Texan for more than a year. Because if you're trading up to the late, like the back end of the first round to select a tight end, you're not re-signing Dalton Schultz to a contract extension.
I think you're right, but I'm also okay with that as long as they got a backup plan.
I'm okay with that too, but,
right?
you're not having the rookie in a second year and Dalton Schultz in a second contract.
No, but what I'm saying is your quarterback needs a weapon at tight end. I don't care who it is.
Sure.
But make sure you have a tight end going forward after this year if Schultz does indeed move on.
I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not opposed to drafting a tight end. I'm opposed to drafting a tight end at 12 now.
Sure.
And I'm even opposed to drafting a receiver at 12 now. I've always been opposed to drafting a receiver
at 12. And you know what? And I agree with you that if they're looking at receiver, then they should trade down.
Here's the, I like Joe's idea of trading back up to the first round. I've heard multiple people talking about the Texans should be looking. Joe definitely said that. I don't know who said it first. Who said it first, Blankers or Joe? 713-780-3776. We'll let the Hive decide. I heard Joe say it.
He said he liked it after I said it, and that he said that was his dream scenario.
I think I said that like 3 weeks ago.
I don't think it's a new thought.
I'm just saying, like,
I think Joe might have conditioned you into having that take.
Oh, he does it every day.
But anyways,
I'm just a puppet.
What do you think it would cost for the Texans, who have the second pick of the second round, to move to like pick 27?
Fourth?
Man, I don't know about that. I was thinking a third.
Fifth? You think it's higher?
Yeah. I think that teams in the back end of the first round know how important it is to have a pick in the back end of the first round because now you acquire a fifth year.
So I think like Buffalo, right, picking late in the first round.
Uh-huh.
Buffalo, I think one of the last mocks I saw, they take the kid from Alabama, the running back from Alabama.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
He's a
they
stud.
Take Gibbs, right. And I think if Bijan's not there, Gibbs is a perfect fit for Buffalo. And
they drafted James Cook last year, though. They like him.
They do, but again, they need to. Most teams like to have two running backs, and if you get those two guys, you get two pretty good guys.
Uh-huh.
But if you think you can get them with the second pick of the second round, as opposed to late in the first round,
right? But now you're losing the fifth year. So, like, why would you take a fifth round pick to drop five spots and lose the fifth year? You got to make it worth their while.
That's a good point.
That's why I think it would take like a third rounder.
Be a fourth. Maybe you're right.
It could be a fourth. Like, I just don't think Buffalo drops down five spots for a fourth round or fifth round draft pick
and then
loses the fifth year.
You got to value. You got to evaluate. Is it worth getting a tight end and moving up in the draft there,
uh-huh,
as opposed to what the value would be in taking a fourth round pick that's going to make your roster and probably be not maybe a significant piece, but a piece.
Like, what is the cost? Because basically what you're doing is you're moving up five spots to buy out a fifth year. Like, what is the cost to move up five spots and then for the player you're moving up for to have the option at that fifth year? Like, that's a pretty heavy cost if it's a third rounder. I don't think Buffalo or a team like that's going to trade down for just a fourth rounder. That's why I really don't think the Texans are going to do it, because I don't think the Texans are going to want to give up a third round pick, and they're not going to use that third round pick as like buying the fifth year on a player they're trading up five spots for.
I think it just depends on how high you go.
Sure.
Like, if you go to 21.
If you go to 21 or 22, now it becomes a little bit more.
If you're going
manageable, I guess.
Two spots to move up to the Chiefs spot or the Eagles spot, like, I think a third round, that's rich.
Yeah, but put it,
it's very rich.
But flip the shoes on that, though. Like, if I'm Philadelia, I'm not trading you with like two spots in the draft for only a fifth rounder.
Yeah.
I need the fifth year. The fifth year's critical.
I guess maybe
especially
maybe
with teams like that that are good, their payrolls are massive already.
I think what we've discovered here is that close of like a fit, like whenever the team's trading 31 and a team team picking 31, team picking 33, I don't think there's a marriage there, because you're not going to move up two spots, use a third rounder because you
that's
want the fifth
fair.
Year, and Philadelphia is not going to trade back two spots, lose the fifth year for only a fifth.
You also likely have a really good chance to
the
still
fifth
just
probably
get
won't
your
make
guy.
Their team.
Right. So like I think Joe's on to something. Like, you have to move into like the low 20s.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's where it starts to make more sense.
Joe, way to be on to something.
Like, I would imagine like last year the Jets were, you know, as the draft was falling, that they probably were considering trading up into the first round to get Breece Hall.
See, but it probably would have been worth it, because now you get a fifth year of Breece Hall versus, like, what are you doing after his fourth year?
Especially since he missed his whole first year. Like, it's – and I get why you would move up, but, like, were you – how high were the Jets would have the value of
they
trade up for Breece Hall?
They were 36. So they would have had to move up, like, four spots to 32.
So, like, I think it just depends on who's there. Because if there's someone that you love, it's like how it was for me when the Bears had the number one pick if I was the Texans. If there's a player that you love there, let's say it is Zay Flowers, and you love Zay Flowers, and he's there at 28, like, I think you have to be aggressive in that moment. And the thing is, I think Nick Caserio will be. He did it with Nico Collins.
Yeah.
He traded up for a third-round wide receiver. He traded up for Mechie last year, didn't he? So
yeah.
If there's someone there he loves in the first round, I would expect Nick Caserio to trade up for him.
See, I think it's in play. I think that the Texans first round could go Bryce Young at 2, defensive end at 12, and then trade into the 20s using their first, second round pick, future draft capital, even this year draft capital, because they have like 12, 13 picks. Like, all those dudes aren't going to make the roster, with the idea of attacking receiver.
Yeah, and that's, now we're all on the same page. I don't care who said it first. I think that would be best case scenario for the Texans to improve their roster across the board and have an impact, because I think you could get quality players, because that's because the surplus this year is all those receivers that are bunched up. So I think you could get it. It's just at what price. Are you convinced that Nick Caserio is such a drafting genius that fourth round pick is something you can't give up?
Drafted Damian Pierce.
Well, that's a good point.
So it's a
so that's why I asked the question
commodity.
Though. Do you believe that he is a draft, you know, drafting genius enough that you wouldn't give up a fourth round pick because he could turn that into a starter too?
I'd rather have more seats at the table.
Because there's still going to be a receiver. One of those receivers is going to be, but maybe it's not your favorite.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, let's get to the scheduling idea I have that everybody would love. I bet you everybody would love this. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What do you think the Woolhouse is going to talk about in their first segment today? We were way off yesterday.
Yeah, they went Lamar, right?
Yeah, they went bring Lamar Jackson to Houston because of Laramie Tunsil's suite. So they're creative of ways to lead off with the Texans. So we got to keep that in mind.
Mike Greenberg wants to talk to them.
What does Mike Greenberg do? It's
Mike Greenberg looks for that click.
I mean, yeah. So what do you think they lead today's show with? Yesterday they led with Lamar Jackson, make him a Texan. What do they lead with today? Hmm. Do they dare lead with the Astros opening day?
Yeah.
26-man roster?
They definitely do.
You think so?
That's it.
That's what they're going to lead today's
Absolutely,
show with?
Absolutely, no question about
it. You think
it.
They're going to be okay with Salazar being on the roster?
No, it's going to be highly discussed.
Well, you think they're going to be upset that it wasn't Corey Lee?
Yeah, I think they're going to be obsessed with Corey Lee, and they're also going to be obsessed, I mean, upset and obsessed with...
Dearden making it over Jolks?
Dearden making it.
I mean, Jolks
it.
Over Dearden, making it over Dearden.
Yeah, Dearden not making it.
Go Cougs, Corey Jolks, opening day roster. You think that's what they lead with, Joe George? That's going to be hard for them not to lead with Texans.
I would be... I know, but
Wait, time out. So you don't agree with me?
I think it's the A story today. I don't
I'm
know if they lead
that
with
they're
it.
Starting with Astros.
I don't know how you start Texans today. Like, where is the Texans lead story today? But yesterday they were creative. They were able to turn a Laremy Tunsil tweet into an opening segment. Like, that is their
I
lead
went to
segment
the NFL headlines.
At 3 and 5.
On ESPN. I don't think there's anything that can trump.
Yeah, but it's more opinions. It's like, come on, like, what can they? Was there a name in the news today? Is there anybody tweeting? Is like trending in the NFL? Did Laremy Tunsil tweet something that they can lead today?
I'm not going that route. I think they're sticking with the Houston sports story of the Astros.
Let's see what Laremy Tunsil has tweeted today. If he tweeted any, you know, emojis that they can turn
with googly
into
googly eyes.
He didn't tweet anything today. It looks like Laremy Tunsil also deleted his tweet about Lamar Jackson.
Apparently, Kyle McNair discussed the. Increased season ticket sales.
Hold on, what?
I'm looking at a tweet from Aaron Wilson. Cal McNair discusses state of the team, fans increased season ticket sales. Quote, we appreciate the fans for sticking with us and coming back strong. We know we've got to win.
So is that's going to be their lead is how...
New uniforms and barbecue.
The arrow is pointing up on the trajectory of the Houston Texans. Season ticket sales are through the roof.
We know we've got to win. Cal saying that.
We know we've got to win. So that because he said that is why the Texans are selecting Bryce Young at number 2. There's
Boom.
The lead story of the wheelhouse.
Drop.
There you go. There you go.
We got to start tracking
Listen
these.
At 3 o'clock. We're 1 for 2. We're 1 for 2. We were wrong yesterday.
I'm shocked. Shockingly, I'm
you're going,
against both
you're going
26 of you. I'm
going
Astros.
You're going Astros roster. Yep. Yesterday,
what did
we pick yesterday? We picked other coaches talking about D'Amico Ryans, and instead they went Laremy Tunsil.
I thought Jake was going to go Jets.
Yeah. Tunsil didn't. He didn't delete that tweet. He was a reply to Lamar Jackson, so that's why it didn't show up on his main page. It was a reply to Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I don't think that they lead with Astros today. I hope I'm wrong. Anyways. The NFL announced yesterday from their owners' meetings that teams can now play more than one Thursday night football game, which I'm not a big fan of this. Honestly, I'm not a fan of Thursday night football. If they got rid of Thursday
Why?
Night football.
Well, the matchups?
No. It's
I
more,
love as much NFL as I can get, but the matchups always suck.
That, but it's also like I don't think football should be played on Thursday in the NFL. Like, you play on Sunday. Like, I believe in the week. I believe that your body needs to recover. I believe in that, you know, off day Monday, you watch film, you start to game plan. Thursday's rushed. Like, that just, it's too fast for me playing on Thursday or playing Sunday to Thursday.
Don't like to consider or hear that opinion.
Right.
But it's legit. When you talk to all the players in the league and you hear them on different shows and different interviews, they say it's hard enough to recover from Sunday to Sunday. If you ask them to recover Sunday to Wednesday and then play again on Thursday, it's devastating to a lot of people. It's devastating to try and get ready, and it's actually harder to recover on Friday.
Yeah. See, that's personally why I don't like it. I think it's way too short of a week for the players to recover
the
Sunday
players association
to Thursday.
Despises
and it also feels kind of weird. Like, you're playing on Thursday after this past Sunday, then you have games coming up but this week, like 2 days later. I'm just not a fan of Thursday night football. I'm really not. If they got rid of it, it would not break my heart at all. I understand we want to see NFL, more days of the week, blah, 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 blah. If they got rid of Thursday night football, I would not be upset. I think it's stupid that they're allowing teams to play more than one Thursday night football game.
From something to watch on Thursday night, I love
I
a Thursday
that.
Night football game, but the matchups normally suck.
I think it's pretty tone deaf, to be honest.
I do too.
I think this is a big mistake.
They were talking about flexing it. How dumb would that be?
No, but they are flexing it.
I don't think so.
No,
they
voted down flexing for this year.
I thought that they voted it down.
Okay, because the idea of flexing Thursday night football is a total joke. I mean, like, you literally cannot flex the Las Vegas
Especially
Raiders.
If you're looking for a better game and you're looking for a better game with a team that's trying to stay relevant and now they've got to recover quicker.
See, I think it's a little bit – I totally agree. But my perspective is going to be from the fan perspective of how tone deaf this is. There was a story out yesterday that 65% of the Raiders' home sales were for road teams. So, like, everyone wants to go to Vegas, right? Everyone wants to see the Texans play in Vegas. How do you have a game that's planned for a Sunday in December and 3 weeks before you move it to a Thursday?
Great point.
And, like, what if a Chiefs-Bills are a Sunday game and all of a sudden you make it a Thursday game? You're screwing fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're talking about hotels, travel plans. Like, you are literally attacking your fan base.
It's great ball. You can't do it.
You
can't do it.
You can't do it. It's one thing to go from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night.
Yep. Same day at least.
Even Sunday to Monday, I can get that if they wanted to go that way and flex Monday night games. But you can't go backwards in the week.
I'm a fan of not moving the days at all. Like the days that they are scheduled,
especially
scheduled.
Late in the season with playoff implications, you can't do that to a team, especially in that case too, when a lot of potentially playoff teams have injuries.
Yep.
And a significant player might be on the fence. You can't speed it up for them and say, oh, now you got to play Thursday.
Here's how I would schedule games if I was the NFL. I'd get rid of Thursday night football. I don't like Thursday night football. You have to keep Monday night football. That's not going anywhere. You have a full week. You have 32 teams in the NFL, full week. You have two teams playing on Monday night. The most games that you can have on one Sunday is 15. This is before the byes, things like that. Most games you can have on a Sunday is 15. Sunday night football is going to be the main event. It's going to be the final game. I'm going to start that at 7:30. Right now it starts at 7:20. I'm moving it back to 7:30. I'm getting rid of the noon and 3 o'clock kicks. I'm going to go by the way of the NCAA tournament and stagger kickoffs every 30 minutes. I'm going to start my first game at noon, my second game at 12:30, my third game at 1, 1:32, 2:33, 3:34, 4:35, 5:36, 6:30, and then the main event, 7:30. I'm going the way of the NCAA tournament because you can watch all the games. You don't have to see all of the finishes coming down at once. You literally have football the entire day. The red zone's great. Red zone's not going to go anywhere because of this.
Well, they've cut down to one officially.
What do you mean?
It's officially only the Scott Hansen show.
What happened to Ears?
It's over. Ears is done.
Is he really?
Yeah.
But at least he's still got a job with NFL Network.
With the new deal.
Stagger the kickoffs.
Yeah. I don't hate the kickoffs.
It'd be football all day, and you're having finishes at all times of the day, not just at the very end of the noon slate, just not at the very end of the 3 o'clock slate. You got finishes all day long.
But then you've got to have four more networks involved.
The networks become tricky.
Yeah.
The networks become tricky, but I don't care if the game's airing on Fox or airing on ESPN or airing on NBC or on CBS. I don't care where it's at.
Why does that affect it?
Because you need
outlets. You can't
no,
CBS.
Because CBS is still only going to offer the Texans game that week.
Yep.
And if that game doesn't kick till 1:30, then you just don't have anything on your television on CBS
or you
till
1:30. Or you can watch the noon game until 1:30, where all of a sudden it gets kicked off until the other one. But you also have Sunday Ticket. Sunday Ticket, you just put it on the channel that it's on.
But that's what you're doing already.
Right. So that's not going to affect anything.
But
I don't find it necessary to do it if you have Sunday Ticket.
Because Sunday Ticket, you might have three games coming down to a game-winning field goal all within 30 seconds.
That's great.
But you know what's better? It's having a great finish at 12:30, having a great finish at 2:30, having a great finish at 5:30. It's perfect for the NCAA tournament.
Trash it.
It'd be perfect for the NFL. Stagger the kickoffs.
Trash.
Stagger the kickoffs.
Trash.
You have games kicking off from 12 all the way to 7:30. Not just three different start times. It's the best way to do it.
Trash.
All right, that does it for us.
Astros.
I don't even want to talk about Joe George today. Assistant to the regional manager, Joe, because you kept pressing the trash button.
I'm calling out orders.
He's killing it. Trash it again.
All right, that's it for us. He's Joe George. Blankers, I'm Branham. Tomorrow, Texas Tailgate. Texas Tailgate. We'll be there. Come hang out with us tomorrow at Texas Tailgate. Talk to you then, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.